that's why I do what I do. And I think it's totally cool if that's how other people look at it as well. I mean, there's nothing wrong with making money. There's nothing wrong with getting a bunch of listeners, but if you enjoy doing it, then just do it.
Most hosts never achieve the results they hoped for. They're falling short on listenership and monetization, meaning their message isn't being heard and their show ends up costing them money. This podcast was created to help you grow your listenership and make money while you're at it. Get ready to take notes. Here's your host, Adam Adams.
Welcome back to the podcast on podcasting. And I'm your host, Adam A. Adams. Today, I have MZ, Mr. Michael Zavala. What's up, Michael?
Not much, man. Just trying to get through the day with about three Red Bulls in my system. So we'll see how that works.
I was like, yesterday and the day before, I had so much coffee. Today, I go, all right, no coffee today. I don't want to become addicted or something. And someone's going to shoot me because they're like, you have to have coffee every day. What are you thinking?
Right.
Or at least it's okay to have coffee. Don't worry. But anyway, Michael Zavala, you are the host of the MZ Now show, which is a Dallas-based talk show.
Yeah.
And what else is kind of cool about Mr. Michael, MZ, is he lives in Dallas, but also he's got a comedy background, a broadcasting background, and an audio production background. Currently, he serves podcasters. I think he said something like 40 or 50 podcasters worldwide as the post-production. He also has a studio out there in Dallas, Texas, where it's right there off of the main drag. And so like people can see it and you go in and you'll record. And then they'll do the post-production, the editing for you. He's been podcasting. It's kind of insane since 2006. I don't even remember when I learned about podcasts. I think I bought an iPhone in 2011 or 2012 because I was saying to myself, man, these podcasts, they seem really cool. I'm going to get one. And so I went and got an iPhone and I was pulled into a whole bunch of different ones. No. I lied. It wasn't 2011. It was 2015. That's when I started listening to podcasts. And I remember thinking to myself, I want to have one of these. Like, I want to be a podcaster. So in 2017, I started. You were already doing this for 11 years before I ever even really thought about it. So
right.
I'm excited to kind of dive into what you have to share. One thing that I know we're going to try to give to the listeners is a new way of thinking. And I just say new way of thinking because I basically beat it into the listener's head that you got to do this for business. You got to be making six figures. This is me. I'm the person on Clubhouse app that you are trying to help people avoid. Because I'm like, business, 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 make money, monetize, grow it.
Right.
And you have a different way of thinking. You said it's okay to just have a podcast. It's okay to just do it just because. And I think that that's going to be a really good message for future podcasters or a current podcaster as well. So, man, how about I just turn it over to you and I see where you take this?
Sure, man. Well, first off, I want to say I've talked 100 times on Clubhouse and I want to say that I love your name, Adam Adams. Also, my middle name is Adam. So there's a soft spot in my heart for anybody named Adam. Adam West, Adam Carolla, and Adam Adams. I mean, that's a cool name. It's like a great like stage name. I wish I would have thought of that.
I will say that I wasn't born an Adam Adams. My mom, I got my mom's maiden name when I was 4 years old. She did not want to think about my bio dad anymore. She's like, no way. I am done. I'm a single mom. He's about to go to grade school. And like, I don't want to have to show up with a different last name than my kid. And so she's like, would you be okay if your name was Adam Adams? So anyway.
Love it. I think it's
wasn't
great.
Born it, but started it when I was four.
At one point wanted to change my name instead of using Michael Zavala, which is my birth name. I'd rather have been like Adam Michaels or something like that. I almost swapped it, my middle name and first name, but I don't know. It didn't work. I just stuck with what I had, but excited to be here. Excited to see you in person and not just on a hear you on an app. I've followed you for a long time. Very excited and honored that you asked me to be on this podcast. But let me just give you a quick background of kind of where I got to where I am and as far as podcasting goes. So like you said, I've been podcasting since 2006. And back then, the reason why you didn't really hear about it until years later is that people thought that podcasting, it's the same type of thought you would give somebody if they said that they were 40 years old, living in their mom's basement, playing Dungeons and Dragons. that's what podcasting was. That's the idea people thought of when you said, I got a podcast and who's listening to it? At least that's what I thought too. So in 2006, I was doing a stint on a radio show with a really well-known radio personality at the time. He gave me an opportunity for about 10 days to do this stint with him. And it was so much fun. And after the 10 days was over, I was like, what do I do now? So I had this rush. I wanted to do more radio because at one point I thought my life would be, I was going to move to LA. I was going to do stand-up comedy and I was going to do animation voiceover. That's what I thought I was going to do. But I always had this love of radio. I always had the love of audio. I used to listen to old audio dramas back when I was growing up. So I got this little stint and I had been doing radio stuff. Even as a kid, I used to do voiceover work for certain radio stations. And then in my teenage years, I was asked to do demos for radio stations for a teen talk show. So I would get friends together. We would get in a studio and we would order pizza and we would talk for 4 hours. And then we would realize we only had about 5 minutes worth of actual airable material. We would trim everything down. And then we would give that to the station. And it's like, hey, here's what we can do. And they always said they loved it, but never had the budget for it. So I always thought that was code for like, we sucked and thank you, but no, thank you. But then they would come to us the next year and they would say, hey, can you do another demo for us? And we would say, sure. And so we would do another demo and send it to them. And it was always, we did have a lot of people, so it probably would be an expensive show to produce, but it was something that I always kind of fell back into. Radio was something that my comedy career wasn't going the way I expected, or I didn't move to LA. Something would always happen to get in the way of that dream. Radio was something that I always kind of fell back into, whether I wanted to or not. So in 2006, after that radio stint, a buddy of mine said, hey, do you remember when we used to do these radio demos for these radio stations back in the day? Why don't we do the same thing again, but as a more of an adult version? I said, okay, yeah, we can probably do that. And then he goes, I got a better idea. What about let's do a podcast? Have you heard of podcasting? And I said, no, I've never really heard of it. And he goes, we can do this internet radio thing. We can do this podcast thing and let's make this work. Let's try to do it. I said, I don't know about all this thing. It sounded really nerdy to me. It sounded like the Dungeons and Dragons 40-year-old guy in his mom's basement. And so I looked into it and Live 365 was big at the time. So I said, you know, let's give it a shot. So we put a team together. We got a station on Live 365 like everyone else had at the time. And we would do a live show, I think Friday or Saturday nights. And then we would do a rebroadcast of that show or what I've called the on-demand show. So you missed the live, you can listen to it on demand Monday or whatever it was. And we didn't know what we were doing. We just had fun. And the live show took off. It really took off. We were syndicated on multiple internet radio stations, terrestrial radio stations. And then sometimes they would play the rebroadcast of it on throughout the week. So if we did Friday night, you could hear it in a station in Vegas on Wednesday, the following Wednesday. So it was a really cool thing. Like I said, we didn't know what we were doing. It just kind of took off and we got to interview a lot of celebrities and it was a lot of fun. It was a way that I could still do my comedy and do my voices and do meet interesting people, but in a whole new way. I could do it in my terms, my way. I'm not standing. I never liked the idea of standing on stage telling people jokes. That's just not me. I don't like to be the center of attention necessarily. And so even though I loved comedy, I was pretty decent at it, stand-up comedy, it just wasn't fulfilling as what I thought it would be. And so when I started doing my show and I started doing the things that I wanted to do and the way that I wanted to do it, it started to feel more fulfilling to me. So we did that show for, I don't know, 2-3 years. And then we took a little hiatus because we lost our studio. And in that little hiatus, I said, I want to do something a little bit different. I want to kind of rebrand the show and do it more mainstream, more pop culture. And so I recast the show and we had a great studio that we rented out in Deep Ellum, the area of Dallas. And we did a show called MZ Live. And the whole thing of that was same format. It was we went live on a Friday night, I think. And then we would release the show Monday or Tuesday. And that also went really big and did really well. And because of that show, a lot of people from there got other gigs working in TV shows, or I got an offer to help out with a reality show that never took off. But we were all back and forth from LA and in Dallas. And so we decided maybe we should end the show now because everyone's all going their different directions and just kind of focus on what we're doing now. So we ended that show. We all went off and did reality shows or whatever it was that we were all doing. And then a few months later, we were all back in Dallas with nothing to do. And we got approached by a producer out of New York. And they said, hey, we really loved what you did on this MZ Live show. Could you do something like that on TV? There was a show called Dish Nation that had just come out that had been really popular. It was radio DJs all across the country talking about pop culture stuff. And they wanted something kind of similar. And I actually had an idea for a show that was like half in studio, half like a variety show, half in studio, half on the man on the street, half pranks, half a reality show, talk show. I don't know. It was a weird concept, but I thought it could work. So I said, yeah, let's do that. So we built a studio, a TV studio here in Dallas. and built a set. We shot about two seasons worth of in-studio footage and never made it because it just wasn't what we wanted it to be. We had some problems with some of the local producers that didn't understand the vision of it. And so it was like one of those situations where it's like, if it wasn't what we wanted to put out there, we're not going to put it out there. So we said, what do we do now? That's usually how things end up happening. I always ask myself, what am I going to do now? And we decided, hey, let's go back and do what we were good at, which is the radio show. But let's do it. And this is probably 2014. Let's do it just as a podcast. We're not going to go live. We're not going to syndicate it. We're just going to do it as a podcast because now we live in a Netflix world at this time. Everyone wants stuff on demand. I want to watch a TV show. I don't want to have to wait to come out next week. I want to watch it now. So we started MZ Now, which is what we do to this day. And I was afraid to call it a podcast, even though that's exactly what it is, because of the connotations that it had back in 2006. I still thought of it in those terms, especially when you're dealing with publicists and stuff. And when you would say back in those days that you had a podcast, what's that? Why would we send you our guests? What is this? So I just called it On Demand. And we still kind of use that terminology now, but that's what it is. It's a podcast. So we built our own studio for the first time ever. We had our own studio versus renting other people's places and all of that. We built our own studio. And yeah, I mean, that's pretty much, we get to do this every week. I get to sit with people that I like. Sometimes I don't like them, but I get to still sit with all these people and hang out with them and talk to celebrities and make jokes. And it's literally everything that I ever want to do. I get to do it every week and sometimes more if I wanted to. I just don't want to. It's great. I enjoy it. I can't ask for anything more.
It's difficult to select a question because there's so many in my mind. I am curious. I know that you had kind of shut the studio down for a minute. Like, mm-hmm. During COVID and all that kind of stuff. So I'm curious, like, what happens to revenue when something like that happens? Did you ever think about just shutting it down for good because loss of revenue? Did you expect, oh, this is only going to be like a couple months, so it's fine, and then it just dragged out to be almost a year? Or what was kind of going through your experience as somebody who owns a podcast production or on-demand production studio?
So, well, the months leading up to the shutdown, we were having our best months ever. This was it. We were skyrocketing. We had too much business, in fact. So we had plans to train people. We had plans to grow our staff and offer more services. And then, you know, you hear the rumors about COVID, but it's just like anything else, any sort of bird flu, Ebola, all this stuff that you hear, oh, it's coming, and you get all this hype, and then it just disappears one day, and then everyone goes on with their life. So that's what we thought Corona was going to be. So we didn't pay much attention to it until Dallas shut us down. And so we thought about, one of the things that we were really pretty decent at is pivoting and trying to think outside the box. I will give that to my team because they really, everyone says, hey, why don't we do this? Why don't we do that? So what we went to, actually the studio was shut down for only about 2.5 months, something like that. It wasn't before we reopened. We were at a limited capacity when we reopened, but we were able to still make some stuff work. So what we did was we pivoted to a virtual system. So we went to a kind of virtual recording. So if you couldn't make it, most people didn't leave their house. They were working from home. They didn't want to leave their house. So we said, well, how can we find a way to bring the studio to them, essentially? So we developed a lot of little systems that we could use, even software like Zoom, but other software that we could use to have people record from where they were at. And then we would clean it up in the background and then send it to them when it was all done. And so that really carried us through. We had enough business that wanted to pivot to that virtual reality, I guess, virtual studio business that literally paid the cost of everything that we needed to do those 2.5 months while we were down. So that really worked. And then we continued that. Even when the studio half opened, we continued that model and we still use it this day. We still have virtual recording options, which is really helpful when you have, we just did a show the other day for a company that the two hosts live in different coasts. So one person's calling in from Florida, one person calling in from Georgia. And so we can put them together and it sounds like they're in the same room together. So that really helps out. So we were able to pivot to a virtual system that really helped us through that whole situation.
What do you do with microphones? I know that at your studio, you talked about those Shure microphones that mm-hmm. you have all set up at your studio. When you pivot to more of like a virtual, mm-hmm. did people have their own mics? Did the sound quality go down? Were you renting them out, lending them out? What did that look like?
We were thinking about renting stuff out. We actually have a rental business as well that we rent out, you know, Rodecasters and all that stuff for people locally. And we were thinking about shipping mics to people. The problem would be because of COVID, when you get them back, you're going to have to clean them up. I mean, it's like the worst case scenario. But if you didn't clean it well enough, you send it to somebody else and they get COVID from it. So we just try to coach people into the best rooms in their house, whatever equipment they had, we use that, try to get that the best sounding. Because some of these even internal computer mics work pretty well if they're in the right environment. And I tell people all the time, you could have the most expensive mic in the world, but if you're in your kitchen recording, it's probably not going to sound great. There's not a whole lot of stuff we can do to clean up. You're going to have echo all over the stuff, all over the place. It's just going to sound too bad. So let's use what you have and let's find the perfect place in your house or office and we'll make that work and we can clean up the rest in post. So yeah, I mean, as far as sound quality, a lot of that did go down for a lot of people, but they were able to make it work. And I think I would tell people all the time, Howard Stern, biggest radio personality of all time, for about a week did his show on Zoom, no external mics. He was talking into his iPad or whatever they were doing. That's what they did on Zoom. Jimmy Fallon, host of The Tonight Show, they did their whole show on Zoom. So people are going to understand that you're going to drop your quality a little bit because of the situation we're in. We're used to it. All the major shows, these people that have budgets that we won't even be able to match in 100 years are using technology and using household items, essentially tablets, laptops, to do the show. So we sort of kind of explain that, but there are ways to improve on that sound and improve on your recording location. And so we just took the time and helped people out with that. And it really worked. And sometimes even just having people call in on a phone line, we had so many virtual phone lines that we had that we would have them call in. And it sounds like you're on an AM station, but you're still getting a constant connection. The caller can hear you and that's all that really matters. And so we were able to kind of work from there. So there was a lot of different options that we were to work through, just depending on what the needs were of that particular customer.
So I really want to go and hit the topic that I made a promise to our listener that we were going to be hitting on. That's mostly you and your thoughts around, like, you don't really have to have this a business. There's people like me and others like me that are like, business, 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 make money, make money, make money. And grow your show, grow your show, grow your show.
Yeah, yeah.
But I know you feel pretty passionately about, like, that's not the only way. And so could you maybe give us a couple of examples of maybe people that you work for that come to your studio?
Yeah.
That have a podcast like that, what they're getting out of it besides just money?
Yeah, absolutely. So for one thing, for like me personally, I'll use me as an example because I've had a lot of listeners. I've had little listeners. I've made money. I've lost money doing my show. And you have different seasons. And either way, I would still do the show. If you told me, Adam, if you said, hey, no one's ever going to listen to you, so stop doing your show, I'm still going to do it. The reason is, again, it's my outlet. It's my art. Not to sound pretentious here. I can't paint to save my life. I can't write music. I can't do any of that stuff. My podcast is my art. So I feel like I am somewhat of an artist because I do this podcast, because it showcases my comedy. It's my outlet, really. I get to do the things that I want to do in my world. I kind of liken it to this. If I was a time traveler and I went back 100 years and I went to some famous, or well, he wasn't famous. Nobody knew who he was. He's just some guy painting in his house. And I said, hey man, I'm from 100 years in the future. I've seen all the articles. I've read all the history books. No one's ever going to see these paintings. No one's ever going to listen or know who you are. You're not going to make a dime off of any of your paintings. They're just going to sit here and rot after you die. Your family doesn't even care that you're painting these pictures. And if he looks to me and says, okay, and then turns back and starts painting again, that's a real artist, I think, because it's not about the fact that he wants to get this notoriety or he wants to get this money or whatever it is. He's doing it because he's got to do it. I do the show for me. I do the show because I have to do it. I can't not do the show. Between Christmas and Thanksgiving and then beginning of the new year, we usually take 6 weeks off. And that's a very hard 6 weeks for me because I'm starting to get like an addict. I started getting withdrawals. I have to be making jokes or talking about something that's bothering me or whatever the case may be. So I think that there's a lot of people, especially in the business that we're in, that we see come in, they're like, hey, I'm not really interested in quitting my job and doing this as a full-time deal. I just want this as a way to connect with my friends or talk with my friends. If you think about it, most people go out on the weekends with their buddies and they go out and they drink at a bar and they have these conversations and they enjoy that. That's the stuff they remember, but it's never recorded. So instead, spend the same amount of money, in fact, sometimes less than you're going to spend a weekend out with your friends and come into a studio and record that. And you have it on tape forever. I say tape, but we don't record on tape, but it's something that you'll always have. So I think that kind of thing, that outlet, that venting, some people, it's very therapeutic that they'll come in. They're like, hey, I don't know if anyone's listening to this, but I got to do this because I got to get this off my chest. I have to put it out there somewhere. So I think that is another way of doing a podcast. Not saying that you shouldn't grow the show, that you shouldn't look for ways to monetize it and all that stuff. That's good, but it's not necessary. If you're 6 months into it and you're like, hey, I haven't seen any growth. I haven't made a dime from this. My question to you would be, well, are you still enjoying it? And if the answer is yes, then continue doing it. That's what it's all about, I think, for me. I enjoy doing my show so much. I can't imagine not doing it. I've been doing it so long. I wonder why I'm still doing it, but it's literally the only time of the week that I can shut everything off in my world and I can do what I want to do. I can talk about what I want to talk about and I can do it my way. And when we talk about bringing value to things, I'm maybe not bringing a whole lot of value to my listener because I don't do the show for my listener. If they laugh at something that we do or they joke around or whatever, something that we're messing around with, or they enjoy the interview that we did or whatever the case may be, that's the value for the listener. The value for me is I get to express myself. And I hope that for my team, I've worked with some very talented people over the past 15 years who have, I couldn't do the show without them. I couldn't do the studio without them. I couldn't do the show without them. A lot of them have been around for years. I mean, we've got one guy on the show that's been around with me for maybe 10 years. So these guys stick around and I hope they get value out of it. I hope they get the same thing that I get out of it. I hope they look at it as sort of a sandbox, right? So like, I kind of feel like in Dallas, we're the Saturday Night Live of Dallas because, and I'm Lorne Michaels. I don't go anywhere. I just stay there. I'm going to be 80 years old and having new talent come in all the time. But we've had so many people come through, very talented, creative people that have learned how to, whether it's talk to celebrities or learn how to write bits or how to carry a show or whatever the case may be. They've come in, they've learned how to do something that they've wanted to do. They've played around, they've played in the sandbox, figured out how they want to do their thing. And then they go off to do movies or TV shows. We have a producer that was with us for a few years. She's a famous, or I don't know if she's famous, but really well-known reporter in New York. We've had people that have been on reality shows, movies, TV shows, all because they played around on our show, kind of figured out what they wanted to do and then moved on from there. So I think that's also value that I get from helping somebody else, from having them come in, give us their voice, not just their audible voice, but their point of view of the world, and then hone that and then take it and do bigger and better things with it. So that's why I do what I do. And I think it's totally cool if that's how other people look at it as well. I mean, there's nothing wrong with making money. There's nothing wrong with getting a bunch of listeners, but if you enjoy doing it, then just do it. Not to steal from
that. No, I like that. Yeah, drop the mic. Now, here's the thing. You mentioned that you take like 6 weeks off during the holiday season between Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's. Out of curiosity, during that time, do you pre-record a bunch of episodes so that they're always lining up once a week? Or do you just kind of like let it stop for a few weeks?
No, one thing that we're very good at doing is being very consistent. So we always release something every week. There was a few months where I was in the hospital and couldn't do the show because I shattered my leg falling off a scooter. And my guys continued doing the show without me. And we kept putting something out every week. So during that, when we have pre-scheduled vacations like that, I would say, or little hiatuses, we won't pre-record live shows or anything like that. We'll do best ofs. So we have so much content for past 15 years. We'll go all the way back to 2006, pull short clips, and we'll put them together in a best of episode, and we'll just throw that in there. Or we'll do like, especially at the end of the year, we'll do like the best of 2020 or the best of quarantine or whatever we had. And we'll go back in and we'll take segments of that year and we'll put it together like a highlight reel. Or we'll have some commentary that we'll add to that as well, like some behind the scenes fact of what happened during that particular segment or whatever. So we always have something kind of new, even if we're recycling old material, we always have something planned during those hiatuses. So we're always bringing something out.
So what lessons, besides the fact that you can do this regardless if you even have one listener, I love that illustration that you had. If you go back 100 years and go to somebody, an artist's home and their painting and just ask them, let them know, like, you're not going to be famous, nothing's going to happen. And if they still turn around and start painting, then you know that they're doing it for themselves and they want to do this. And
right.
I think that you're right. I think there's a lot of podcasters that are that way. You obviously are that way. You want to do it your way. And I think that's a huge lesson to take away from this podcast is to love what you're doing. And even if you're making money doing a podcast, if we completely reverse the role all the way and they're making money, but they're not enjoying it, like you don't want to keep coming back to that just because it's making money. So I think that it's a huge takeaway for me and our listener to think about, like, you know what? It's important that I enjoy what I'm doing, regardless of what I'm doing. Because if you don't, you got to switch and do something that you do love.
Yeah.
I think there's always ways of monetizing what you do love. And I think it's a lot easier to monetize when you're passionate about something. So regardless if we want to make money with a podcast or not, I think enjoying it is a huge lesson. But because you've been doing this since 2006, and currently you're producing like 50 shows a week, what other lessons have you learned over time working with different hosts that can benefit a new podcaster if they're listening to the show right now?
I think there's two things, and I'm going to actually echo stuff that you've said. You might have even said it on this podcast before, but one of the things I wish I would have known in the beginning, or really would have thought of, because it would make at least marketing, and we don't spend a lot of money on marketing, we hardly ever market, but if I did decide I'm going to make a budget, and I'm going to start marketing MZ Now to whoever. When I first started, you never really had your target audience in mind. I didn't have my target audience in mind. I didn't know who I was talking to. I just did it. And it worked. 2006 was a lot different than 2021. 2021, everyone's got a podcast and you're fighting to break through that noise and to get somebody to listen to it, right? So knowing who that person is incredibly important. I tell that to shows all the time, because if you're just doing a podcast, like I just want a show about this, well, okay, well, who's going to listen to that? If your goal is to get listeners, who is going to listen to it? And if you have the idea person in mind, then you need to figure out what that person truly wants to listen to. Do they really want to listen to that? You know what I mean? So I think knowing who your target audience is, who you're talking to, is very important. I've heard you say that 100 times. I've heard that in clubhouse rooms. I always preach that. So that's number one. That'll help you, even if that's not your goal right now, to get people to listen to it. Maybe you're just trying to get the shows out so you can say you did it and then you can focus on that. That's fine, but that'll help you in the long run if you figure that out in the beginning. And then the other thing that I think is incredibly important is to be yourself. We have a lot of shows that come in, especially in the past, you gave somebody a mic and an audience or a platform anyway, and you said, hey, do a show. Everyone wanted to be Howard Stern because that's what they know. They wanted to go blue comedy. They wanted to have strippers in and all this stuff. And, you know, there's only one Howard Stern. And there's only one of you. So why don't you be you? Recently, you know, Howard's not as popular as he once was back in those days. But now you've got people like Charlamagne the God, and you've got all these other radio hosts that are coming up. People come in and say, I heard this on The Breakfast Club. I want to do this. Or I heard this on Howard Stern. Or I heard this on radio DJ name here. And I want to do this. I always say, well, why are you doing it if they've already done it? It's okay to have like a version of an idea of something that somebody else has done. But I think coming up with a fresh idea, a fresh take, a fresh format, you don't have to listen to a podcast and say, oh, well, Joe Rogan does his podcast this way, so I'm going to do my podcast that way. I would say if that feels unnatural to you, if it's not true to your voice, then you should do it a different way, because there's only one Joe Rogan. There's only one Breakfast Club. There's only, let's go on and on. And there's only one of you. So make your show your own. And I've been guilty of that too. There's so many radio personalities and comedians and people that I look up to that I'm like, oh, I want to do something like that. And it is a trap. You can fall into it. But if you can pull yourself out of that and you can give yourself a kind of a bird's eye view of the situation and you can really kind of think about what's unique to you, that's going to benefit you and make your show stand out in a sea of podcasts, because that's what we're in right now. In 2006, there was only 3 podcasts. Now there's billions. So if you want yourself to stand out, then you've got to be yourself.
Yeah, that's powerful. The last I checked, it's funny because the intro for this podcast, and I'm probably going to have it re-recorded, it says there's over 1.9 million podcasts in the world. Yeah. And now there's over 2.2 million.
Right.
Like just last week, it was like 2 million. It had barely crossed 2 million. And now there's 2.2 million. So you're right. There's a lot of other podcasters. And I believe that your listener resonates with you, but they will only resonate with you if you are you.
Right.
And it's going to be difficult to attract a listener if you're trying to be all these other people, because they're already around. Joe Rogan, you mentioned, Howard Stern, you mentioned, and others. A lot of good takeaways. If we are thinking about just starting a brand new podcast, that's where our mind is. We're considering it. We'd like to do it. And we're not sure if we're going to be able to monetize. We're not sure if we're going to be able to be ourselves, but we know that we want to have a show. How would you speak to that person? What would you say to kind of inspire or get that person to go ahead and get started?
It's funny because we see that a lot. A lot of people come in, I don't know what my show is going to be about. I don't really know how to really go about it. So what do I do? And I always tell people, just start, because you can overplan in the beginning and you can psych yourself out, or you're like, oh, I'm not quite ready yet. I really don't have everything together. So I'll just do it next month. And I'm postponing stuff all the time because I don't feel like I'm ready for this, or I don't feel like I can do this or whatever. So I'll do it next month. And then 2 years go by, you still haven't done it. And I always think of things like, it sounds kind of morbid, but deathbed mentality, right? So when you're laying on your deathbed and you're going back and you're thinking about all the things you could have done when you were able to do it, are you going to look back at this and be like, man, I really just should have started the podcast. I don't know what it brought me. It may have brought me money. It may have brought me notoriety, or it may have just brought me joy. And all of those things are fine. And so I would just say, just do it. Go in a studio or pull out a microphone, record on your computer, and just do a first episode. Listen to that episode over and over and over again. People always say, oh, I hate hearing my own voice. I don't want to hear it. Listen to it over and over and over again. Understand your voice, understand what you're trying to do. And then that picture starts to form in your mind of what your show is going to be about and how you want to do it. And then at that point, you can continue on. It's like sometimes I'm not, like I said earlier, I'm not like a painter or drawer, but I can scribble some, I can do little stick figures and stuff. And sometimes I don't have the complete, when I'm doodling, I don't have the complete image in my head. I just start to kind of draw. I know it's going to have a face, so I'm going to draw the face. And then I start kind of putting everything together as I go along. The pieces start to fall in place. Same thing with podcasting. You're not going to have the whole picture in the beginning. So just start. I think that's the biggest thing you can do.
I really like the feedback on when starting, record an episode. You don't necessarily have to publish it.
Right.
But record an episode and just keep listening to it. And I think you're right. I was a musical composer when I was very small. When I was in junior high, I used to write a lot of music and would start by, I would hear a beat and I would tweak on it. And then I would try to see like what kind of melody would hit that and what kind of bass would go with that and what I could do different. And so it would just start with something. And I wouldn't have to go and try to sell that composition right away. I mean, I sit there and learn about it, figure it out, and it ends up being beautiful. It ends up sounding really, really great. But it's difficult to get there if you don't at least pick up a mic and record. And you don't have to publish it right away. Like
right.
That first episode probably stinks so much that you don't want to publish it right away, but it's at least going to help you to be able to move in that direction. So
and don't be hard on yourself after listening to that first episode, because I have people that are like, oh, this maybe isn't for me. That first episode is terrible. Let me give it to you. Honestly, everyone's first episode sucks. In fact, my first several years probably sucked when I was doing this thing. I mean, I can't even go back and listen to those things, but everybody sucks at their first time, right? Michael Jordan didn't become Michael Jordan day one. You know what I mean? So it took years of practice and honing in on a skill. So, and this is just like anything else, it's a skill and you do have to hone in on it and you do have to learn from your mistakes and all of that stuff, but don't beat yourself up and say, oh, this isn't for me. Throw your hands up after one episode or even 6 months, you know, keep going if you enjoy.
My last podcast I sold, our main listener base was Dallas.
Oh, really?
And then it went to Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And then my own hometown was third, Colorado. Yeah. So there's a good chance that we have a bunch of people that are listening that are not far from you that might want to come in and check out your studio, maybe record something with you. If that's the case, could you let them know how to find you that way?
Yeah.
And as far as the podcast for Michael Zavala, it's MZ Now. And just do us a favor, do yourself a favor, go and check it out, see if you like it, and give them an honest written rating and review. Whatever you think of the podcast, let him know right there on his show. So, Michael, that's how they can find your podcast, check you out. But if they might want to hire you, how do they find you?
MZStudiosDallas.com. That's it.
MZStudiosDallas.com is that's now it. In the show notes. So you can scroll down and you'll be able to jump on and say hi to Michael. Mike.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm allowed to call you Mike.
Call me
but we do have mics.
That's right. Yeah.
I'll just call you MIC.
Honestly. Yeah, Mick. That'll work.
Michael, thank you for jumping on. Really appreciate your time. Very interesting to kind of switch gears on our podcast because it's always like make money. This is really fun to just have a laid back conversation about enjoying what you do. So thanks for jumping on.
No problem. Thank you. Thank you for all the work that you do. We met on Clubhouse and you're very helpful. Every time I jump in a room, you're moderating. You're always giving great advice. I learned from you as well. So I appreciate everything that you're doing.
Back at you, brother. I'm going to let you go. Thanks, man. And no we're problem. Out. This episode's brought to you by growyourshow.com. Grow Your Show lets you be the star of your show while we handle all the hard stuff. We offer reliable and affordable post-production services that allow you to grow your show organically without all the work. So go ahead and check out the website right now and feel free to schedule a call with me and let's take your show to the next level. Again, growyourshow.com. You just press record. We handle the rest.